This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Fail Dream Deal with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
That's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps. This is not Josh Wiggler. This is Jess Sterling. We are here talking season 2, episode 13, Celebrity Pharmacology. That is a tough thing to say, of community. And unfortunately, Josh could not be here with us today, but that's okay. It's a girls only party. And I am joined by a fellow woman of the world, YA's own Melissa Woodward. Melissa, how are you?
I'm good. Yes, fellow woman here reporting for Danny.
We did it.
Yeah, we didn't know that was going to be the requirement back when we planned this.
Yes, unfortunately, Josh could not be here with us today, but that's okay. We're still going to be talking to some community today. And, you know, we're talking a lot of drugs. It's going to be drug-a-palooza.
Yes. It's very exciting. I love to talk about drugs.
Yes. So, Melissa, why don't you walk us through, before we get into the episode proper, walk us through your backstory here with community, because you've never been on the podcast before, which is quite a shame it has taken this long. My fault. 100% my fault. But tell me your backstory with community.
So I was actually trying to think about this today because I don't remember when I started watching. I just think it was on TV. And so I started it somewhere in season 1, probably. Like, I think it was pretty early. Because the thing that I remember most about Community, and this is going to be very sacrilegious to say on this podcast.
Oh, no.
Is that I was watching Community at the same time that I was watching Happy Endings. And the problem was that Community, every season, it was like, oh, it's getting canceled. Like, oh, it's coming back. It's getting, you know, it was this whole big back and forth. And I remember at one point, I think it was after season 3, I thought, you know, we all thought it was ending, comes back for 4, right? And Happy Endings at the same time got canceled. And it felt like at the time that we were like trading Happy Endings for Community.
Oh, so
and
you
I
held
remember
it against
being
Community.
Heartbroken about that because I was like, I had come to terms with Community ending. I had like accepted it and I'd been sad, but I had, you know, I had grieved appropriately and I had resolved my feelings. And then suddenly like Happy Endings was being canceled and Community was coming back. And I was like, oh no, if I had to choose like this, oh no.
See, I don't know if I've seen Happy Endings. Like, I think I know of it. I've definitely heard of it, probably from you. I feel like you've mentioned the show before, but I don't know it that well. But like, if you were to go back, which would hold up better? Is Community the better product overall?
Like, I adore both. I like Happy Endings is one of my all-time favorite shows, and Community is totally up there. And like every time I watch Community, I'm like, this show is great. Like, it's really it really holds up. It's really fun to go back and watch. Funnily enough, so after I was watching this episode, I just, you know, let Netflix play as you do, and a star of Happy Endings appeared in a few episodes. So, you know, teaser for that. Yeah, and I loved her in the episode and her dynamic. So if anything, it just made me like more sad that I couldn't see her in a more prominent role. I don't know. I adore them both, but I don't think I've ever finished Community. So I think that I got mad and then stopped
quit the show. I mean, it's not that big of a loss that you didn't watch season 4, but I do recommend going back for seasons 5 and 6, or 6, at least 5, I think, is definitely worth a watch through if you're ever so interested, so inclined to go back. I feel like I would advise people, like, if 4 isn't your thing, like, skip it over. You're not missing, like, a ton of great stuff. But, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, my plan is, like, once we know what you all are doing to cover it, I think I'll, you know, watch it.
I think it's interesting to hear from the people who are like, yeah, I never quite finished it. I'm just, like, a completionist at heart. And, like, I have to really hate something to not finish it.
It just shows how much I hold a grudge, to be honest.
Yeah. Like, how dare you take the place of Happy Endings?
Yeah, like, I finished a lot of shows and I did not finish Community. I also think it, like, hit around that time. I think I just, you know, got busy with things. But yeah, there's a lot of shows that I finished in that are much worse than Community.
Yeah, so. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. You're just holding a grudge against it. That's fine. I'll try not to hold a grudge against you. I guess you can stay. It's fine. But yeah,
can I say though, I am a season three advocate. Like, I think season three doesn't get nearly as much credit as it deserves. I think there are some amazing episodes in season
three. You think it's better than season two, or are you just saying, like, you think it's better than people say it is?
I think it's... I probably not quite better than season two, but I think it's up there. And people seem to, like, not be a fan. And, like, there are some of the absolute best episodes of the show, I think, are in season three.
I think season three has some very high highs. I just don't know that it has the consistency that season two has. But yeah, I'm pretty sure totally in my rankings, I'd have to go back and look. I'm fairly certain that I have season two at my top tier and then season three is second. Because it does have, by then, they know the characters. Like, it's a solid show. Season one, I feel like they were still working out some kinks. It's too Jeff heavy for my liking most of the time. So I agree. Yeah. I think season three is very well done in terms of, like, the overall show, for sure.
Yeah, and I've just definitely had some conversations with people where they're, like, hating on season three, and I, like, start reminding them about episodes that are in season three, and they're like, oh, okay, maybe I like season three better than I think I did. For some reason, it just has that vibe. People love to hate on it as a whole, and they're like, okay, but yeah, the high highs is a good way of putting it.
Well, before we get into all of the fun shenanigans of the episode, let's take a quick moment to hear from our sponsors, you know, the people. Let's take a quick moment. All right, we're back. Let's get into it. Celebrity Pharmacology, director is Fred Goss, written by Dan Harmon, and one of my all-time faves, Hilary Winston. Anytime her name is on an episode, I feel like it's usually one I'm a decent fan of. An air date, we are in the beginning of 2011. Oh, such sweet summer children, we were back then, January 27th, 2011. This episode, I feel like, is very unique in that it's all centered around this, like, one simple plot point. And the amount of costumes that are just never addressed as to why someone is wearing what they're wearing is fascinating. So we start with Abed and Troy, who are dressed as bees, and they're performing a skit of flying a little low, maybe you should get high. And Pierce is just, he's dressed in all black except for this huge marijuana leaf. Like, I want to know where they came up with this idea of, like, okay, we need the bees. The bees are very important. Is it simply because of the puns? Like, drugs are like a special honey. They give you a buzz. Like, is that but, why? Like,
No. The bee costume had to come first. There is no way that you write a line, drugs give you a buzz, and then think, now let's put them in bee costumes. Like, no, you're going through your tickle trunk of costumes, you happen to have bee costumes, and then you write the buzz line.
I guess so, but, like, why are we, like, I think it's, do they just know that, like, bees have so many puns available that they're like, we have to make them dressed as bees? Or did they get the stinger joke first, and then they're like, there's the bee thing?
For, like, the writing, I'm thinking, like, in the canon of the show, Greendale hosted some previous play that happened to have bee outfits. For the actual writing, yeah, I think it was a stinger joke, and they're all, like, building up to Troy's line about having more confidence when the costume was the other way around, which is my favorite line from this episode. It makes me laugh so hard.
There's fun, like, every Community episode has little, like, nuggets, like, little Easter eggs that you might not catch on the first time around, and the bee costumes have many of them this episode. So Pierce keeps going off script. He does the, like, don't call me honey, which gets some laughs, and Annie is getting very upset. She gave him a non-speaking role. We all know it was on purpose. And Pierce is very upset about this. He has no lines, and he gets flushed down the toilet in this play. And Abed is confused. He says, Annie, question, is Pierce marijuana, and does marijuana help people work faster? I thought it just made them custom paint their vans and solve mystery.
This was so good. It was so funny.
Yeah, obviously, like, a reference to Scooby-Doo. And then is the other reference to, like, Pimp My Ride? Is that? Maybe not.
No, I think they're talking about the van in Scooby-Doo. It's all the Mystery Mobile? That's what it's called?
Mystery Mobile. Yeah, I was thinking it was a reference to, what was that guy's name? They had Pimp My Ride, right, on MTV in Canada? Did you ever watch Pimp My Ride?
So we don't have MTV, but yes, I'm aware of the concept of Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, there was that one guy, Exhibit. I think his name was Exhibit. And he had, like, this giggle, and he would put, there was an episode where he put, like, a hot tub in someone's truck, as if, like, how do you even drive around with a hot tub in the back of your truck, like, with that sloshing all over the place?
Yeah. Mystery Machine. Thank you, chat. Yes.
Yes. Just to put that out there. Mystery Machine.
We get tweets. Yeah.
So amazing. So Troy says he thinks his costume is on backwards because he felt more confident with the stinger in the front.
Yeah. It's so subtle. Like, it's one of those mm-hmm. things where it takes your brain a second to be like, oh, I get it.
Yep, that's like, what he means.
Anytime Troy says anything that is like this, where it's just very underplayed, but very funny when you think about it. Like, it's just my favorite part of this whole show.
Yeah, Donald Glover has a way of stealing scenes in, like, the smallest of moments. Like, it's, we'll get to it later, but, like, in the scene where they're, like, singing on stage, just his movements are so funny. Like, I don't know how he thinks, because you know that's not in the script. You know what I mean? Like, you know it's him improvising that. But yeah, so funny. And Shirley says she doesn't think her character would say trippin' balls. She's dressed as a green crayon, which also, like, why though? What? She's no one else is a crayon, just her.
I have no idea. This is the one that is truly baffling, as April said. Like, I don't know. Is it, like, people eat crayons when they're children? Is that, like, a thing? I don't know.
People eat crayons.
I don't know. Children do weird things. Right?
I don't know that I ever ate a crayon. I mean,
I don't think I did either. Did you ever do the thing where you, like, you had your pencil holder and you would color the marker on the top of it and then put glue so that it would, like, harden and peel off into, like, a colorful bookmark? No. Oh, this was, like, a thing that I definitely did and then forgot about for like 20 years.
So you put glue on the top of the pencil case and then you put marker, so it colors it?
So yeah, so you do the marker first and then you put the glue, and so then it, like, picks up the color as you do it. Yeah.
No, I'm not crazy. This is like wild. I've never done this.
Like wet blue.
Amazing.
Which has nothing to do with crayons at all, but we were talking about school supplies. So.
I just remember, like, the big deal, first of all, if you didn't have Crayola, you were a nobody. Go away, Rosart, you were not very good. Everybody needed the Crayola, and, like, the bigger pack you had, the, like, bigger deal you were. And if you had the one that was, like, huge with the sharpener on the back, king of the class, right?
The sharpener and then, like, the many layers and the whole thing, like, folded up and, like, unveiled all the crayon goodness.
Yeah. Like, I can remember there's one called, like, mac and cheese. Like, I just remember some of
those. I remember the mac and cheese one. That was, like, a hot commodity at my school. Yeah, the mac and cheese crayon. The hot mac and cheese crayon.
Yeah. So no one knows why Shirley is dressed as a green crayon, but, you know, she is. And Shirley, or Annie says that she thinks the show will help kids make better choices. And Britta says that shows like this are what drove her to drugs. And he says she doesn't count because she doesn't react to anything appropriately, which Britta takes as a compliment.
I mean, it's kind of a compliment.
Yeah. If you don't react to things appropriately, I guess I guess it depends on what appropriately is, right? So,
So what's the problem with tripping balls? Is it just that it's like,
why doesn't, well, I don't think Shirley wants to say balls.
Yeah, it's just that Shirley doesn't want to say
Shirley,
balls.
Yeah,
and now Shirley, we're going to say it, like, over and over again.
Yeah, Shirley is, like, a very, like, devout Christian woman who will not be saying the word balls in front of a bunch of children, I think.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah.
It's truly unimaginable. I thought it was maybe she just doesn't like the lack of G in trippin'.
Yeah. Oh, she wants so tripping balls is unacceptable, but it's tripping balls is fine. Tripping testicles is the preferred method, actually.
Yeah. If you use tripping testicles, there we go. That's my band name.
It's amazing. Now I'm thinking of all of, like, the synonyms that you could work into a band name. Like, you could have, like, stumbling testicles. Like, that I feel
stumbling,
like,
stumbling scrotum is probably
like, stumbling scrotum. Okay, lock it in as a band name. That's amazing. It's perfect. I love it.
This is what happens when Josh isn't here.
To be fair, this is what would happen if he was here.
It's true.
It might be worse if you were here, to be honest. So the dean enters with a ding dong, which anytime Dean uses his name, like, as a pun, I'm all on board. For some reason, it bothers me less when he does it than when Chang does it. And maybe it's because Chang literally always uses, like, the same pun. Like, it's always change. Whereas Dean is more imaginative with it, I think.
I think maybe just part of the difference is, like, I don't know, the ang sound just feels more, like, intense somehow. Like, ding dong, just, it's quicker.
It's cute. Yeah.
Chang is, like, a longer word, and therefore it, like, feels more aggressive somehow.
Yeah. I agree with you. So he's in a bee costume, a little slightly different than the other bee costumes. And one of the main reasons it's different is because he has a stinger in the front, which you can see when he walks in. And he says he's checking in just to see how the show's coming along. There's going to be 50 children at the show. So with any luck, they can get rid of some of the Charleston chews in the vending machine. Now, is this a joke in that, like, only children eat Charleston chews?
It's that nobody likes Charleston chews, I think. Yeah.
Okay, because I was
and
like,
so they're all that's left, so they're going to get rid of them on children who don't know any better.
For some reason, I was playing, like, 3D chess with myself in my mind, and I was like, is it that the kids are high and only high people like Charleston chews? Like, I don't know why I was thinking, like, they're at-risk youths. They're high. Only they will eat the Charleston chews. Is a Charleston chew like a Tootsie Roll? Is it like a budget Tootsie Roll?
I was going to ask you. I assumed it was like an American thing that I like I've seen them, but I don't think I've ever eaten one.
I've seen them. Those are the candies that sit at the cash register, like at a convenience store, and never get purchased. They've always, like, they're like long and skinny, so I had imagined that they're kind of similar.
I just always assumed
to,
like, they
were
like toffee-ish, but maybe they're...
Maybe. Candy? I don't know. Someone let me know if you've ever eaten a Charleston chew, because I certainly haven't.
Clearly, I did not do my research for this podcast.
Well, it honestly it makes it a better joke that neither one of us has eaten a Charleston chew because it proves Dean's point that no one wants them. Annie thinks that he's going to be participating in the show, obviously because of his costume, but he says he has other plans at the airport Ramada.
It's so perfect. It's so funny.
It's so Dean. Like, and that's what's the best about season two is we are getting so much more Dean content, and we're really, like, we're getting the costumes. We're getting just, like, more Dean stuff. Oh, we found out. Okay, shout out to Deidre. It's chocolate or vanilla taffy covered in chocolate. Okay, so it's like taffy. Is a Tootsie Roll considered taffy?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I've
like them.
I've never eaten a Tootsie Roll.
What? Do they not have them in Canada?
No, we definitely have Tootsie Rolls because Grace got mad at me when I told her I hadn't eaten one.
Oh, right. You had a whole conversation about the colored ones, which I also love. They're really good. amazing. So, yeah. So he leaves. And we have Abed and Troy discussing whether bees eat their own honey. I don't know the answer to this. I don't think they do. Do they?
No, I don't think so. I think they eat something else that they, like, regurgitate up and eat.
Lovely.
But not honey. But honey is, like, a byproduct. This I feel like I should know, and I don't know.
So I mean, it's fine. I don't know enough about bees either. I love bees. Bees are good for the environment. They're great. Everybody,
they're really important for the environment, and they're dying. Support the bees. It's like
support the bees. Murder the wasps. The wasps are no good. The bees are good. The bees can stay. Wasps are evil demons.
Can I ask a question? Would a different hotel chain be less funny? Like, if it's the Airport
Ramada.
I think it's less funny. I think
it's less funny.
Reason,
I feel like it.
Ramada.
Yes. I mean, I think they could do a different one, but it couldn't be. Yeah. I think Ramada is the best one. Hilton isn't as good. Hilton's are too nice. Ramada's are, like, more
that's
budget.
The thing is that it's, like, it's got to be the place that you stay when you're, like, going to a soccer tournament.
And you don't have any other choice, right? It's at the airport.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't even leave the airport to go
somewhere. Six people into a room at the Ramada,
Yeah. It's where you, like, don't even want to, like, sleep on the sheets. You know, you just, like, sleep on top of the bed. Yeah. On top of, like, your clothes. Just because you're like, I don't want to touch this. Yeah, for sure.
I also love that he's wearing the costume. I get that it's for the joke, but I also imagine that this is just who Dean is as a person. That he's wearing the costume all day. And then at some point, going to the airport Ramada. Like,
and he has the hat on
and everything.
He gets changed
into it when he's there.
He has the hat on. He didn't even, like, have time. He was such in a rush that he didn't have time to put the hat on before going into the hotel. He had to have it on for the school.
It would break the illusion if he showed up out of the costume, right? It's all got to be part of the
whole. It's all connected. It's beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful storytelling. So we have Britta, who gets a text message, and she's very annoyed because a guy keeps texting her, and she says she does not enjoy flirting over text. And Jeff makes a pretty solid point here. If you don't, it's like saying you don't work by electric light. If you want to have an active sex life, part of it is texting. I mean, this was 2011. This is even more true now, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, Britta, but, like, get used to it.
Yeah. Especially, I'm actually surprised. I feel like I'm trying to think. 2011. So did you notice Britta's phone? It was one of those ones that, like,
slide
sideways.
Out keyboard. Yeah.
I had one of those. One of my favorite cell phones I've ever owned. Like, I know we're all touch screen nowadays, and that's fine, but I love, like, the tactile feeling of, like, the buttons, you know. I feel like this was like a vast improvement from past phones we've seen Britta own. Like, she had one that had like a
pull-out antenna. Yeah.
Yes, and it was like,
I remember that
it was like electrocuting her or something at one point. Yeah, so she has improved at the very least with the style of phone she's using.
I remember my first cell phone ever was like a Nokia flip phone that was indestructible. Like, I think I dropped it in the toilet multiple times, mm-hmm. and it kept working. But then when, like, I got the flip out, and that felt like such an upgrade at yes. the time. And it was green, and I, like, yeah, I was a big fan.
Yeah. Oh, back in the day, there were so many, like, different options. Like, now it's usually like, okay, you either have an iPhone or like you have an Android, and like those are like your two, and they're all touchscreen. But back in the day, there was like
basically the same.
But. Yeah. Back in the day, there were so many options. So Chang comes in. He approaches Shirley with a Get to Know Chang Mix mixtape. And then he also brought her a list of used cassette tape players on Craigslist. How thoughtful.
Yeah. It was very thoughtful.
What songs would be on Get to Know Chang, Chang Mix?
I was about to say, this is a great question, and I have no idea. I'm trying to think about 2011. Like, I'm assuming it's just a lot of, definitely like maybe some disco, like some dance music, but then also some like really sad like girl rock. Like, I think that there's like a lot of variability. Oh, he's like totally into
Alanis Morissette.
Right? That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I could see it. The only thing that came to my mind, and I don't really know why it did, was like Run DMX, like, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Like, I could see him loving that song, and I don't know why. But I could just see it happening.
Yeah, that's a great, yeah. That's the thing is, I think there's like quite a variety to Chang. Like, some of it is, you know, the music that he plays when he's really sad. And some of it is like the, yeah. like, when Chang is really feeling himself.
Yeah, I could see him like, there's the episode of The Office where Michael Scott just keeps playing like the 30-second clip of the, she took my heart, she took my soul. It's like James Blunt or whatever his name is. And I could just see him like doing that as when he's like in his feels. Yeah, when he's like in his feels. Oh, man. But Shirley hates it. Shirley ignores him. And she's like, Britta, are you leaving? Because I'm leaving.
So making a mixtape takes so much work, right? Like, you've got to sit there.
Oh,
With the record and with the stop button. Like, making a mix CD, which you could totally do in 2011, is way faster. And he did not do that. He put in so much effort into this tape.
You'd have to wait until like those songs came on the radio to like capture them for that person. That is a big deal. You know, he's really trying, and Shirley is not having any of it. Britta tries to.
Or you need the boombox that has the two tape.
Oh, and you like playing
the tape and recording the tape.
But do we think Chang has that? I feel like he does it old school. I feel like he does the radio method.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, Britta's like, you have to acknowledge him. And she's just like, nope, he does not exist. You know, no big deal. He's not there. It's like, Shirley is refusing to even acknowledge that she had some sort of illicit affair with Chang. Nope, not happening. Let's pretend it didn't happen.
I was proud of Britta in this moment, though, for like she sort of tried to be the good girlfriend when Shirley was like, Britta, were you leaving? And Britta's like, yep. Like, Britta doesn't ask questions. Britta understands that is code for like, come with me right now.
Yes.
And then very quickly it falls apart, but at least Britta's made progress in her like good girlfriend.
Yeah, she's learned like girl etiquette, like, oh, we're going to the bathroom, you have to come with us. Like, now she knows, like, I'm leaving. Yeah. Britta, you're leaving too, and we're gonna like trash Chang on our way out. Like, that's what the deal is. Yeah. Meanwhile, Pierce approaches Annie, and he tells her he did all the commercials for Hawthorne Wipes in the 50s. He was the Gerber baby of moist towelettes. He lists off his abilities, including accents, physical comedy, and he thinks he can add more to the show. But Annie's like, well, the star of the show is the message. So this is honestly, this entire plot of this episode is like, I feel like they're just poking fun at Chevy Chase. Like,
well, it was funny because like he's listing all these things he can do, and I'm like, this is Chevy Chase just like legitimately listing his
physical
resume,
comedy.
I'm
sure. Who does that sound like?
Yeah. Although then when she asked him to do a Russian accent, I was trying to figure out if this was a reference to something that Chevy Chase had done, but I think it was just like name a random accent.
I wonder if like, I mean, I don't know, does he do accents? I'm trying to think like of the movies he's been in. Like, I think he's just himself. Like, he's Chevy Chase.
So maybe that's probably part of the joke is that he
can't do accents.
Well.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, Britta gets a text message while only Abed and Jeff are in the room. And like nowadays, you'd never leave your phone unattended, and also it would have like a password protected lock on it and everything. But Jeff reads it and it says, "I'll be at the show tomorrow night. Can't wait to see you. Are you really wearing a cat costume?" Jeff thinks this is the guy that Britta was talking about. And he's like, "Oh, great. Okay, I'm going to flirt back," which is like such a questionable decision by Jeff, considering like what's actually going on behind the scenes this whole season. Yeah. But he says, "There's not much to the cat costume, but can't wait to show you what's underneath." This is some heavy, heavy-handed flirting. Like, this is straight to the point. If I was the guy, like, let's pretend this is the guy she didn't want to flirt with, and someone goes from, like, 0 to 100 immediately, I'm like, whoa,
yeah, this is a lot. Because if Britta's been struggling with flirt texting, like, her texts up until this point have probably just been like, haha, hope you're having a good day.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know, right?
Or Britta's
like
person,
every awkward text I've ever sent.
Yeah, Britta's the person who only responds in very limited words and like emojis, and she's
emojis
like, "Oh, can you
that
call me?"
Make no sense and have no context. Like, it's just like random, like
thumbs up. Yeah, Britta's the
or
one,
or like a truck or something. Like, it's just random.
Britta's also the one who doesn't text you before they call you; just cold calls you. That's Britta.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's not okay
and then
to do.
Like
don't
leaves
call
a
people.
Voicemail.
So oh, that you have to God, check your don't voicemail. Leave me a voicemail. Don't leave me a voicemail. It's never gonna happen. Send me a text message. If you called me and didn't answer, send me a text message. So much easier.
Exactly. Hang up, send a text message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. These are the rules of the world. We don't make them, we just live by them. And Abed immediately, it's interesting to see Abed as like the moral compass in this moment. Because he's like, you know this is a bad idea, right? Like, this is a bad idea. And Jeff's like, no, it's a great idea. It's perfect. Abed doesn't have, like, a ton to do. So I don't know how I feel about him as, like, trying to morally guide Jeff in this way. Because I feel like he's usually, like, in for the chaos of it. You know? He's like, what's going to make a better story?
Yeah, I kind of feel like it should have been Troy who at least might know that. Mm. But I don't know. Abed has nothing to do. The lack of Troy and Abed in this episode is like my main strike against it. Is it's just like they have nothing to do other than random funny bits that I like glom onto. It's like, okay, yes, this was hilarious.
Yeah. It's not, it's definitely not an equal episode for all of the characters. That's for sure. I feel like when Community is at its best, it's an ensemble show where almost every single character has really great moments. And this episode doesn't. Like, a lot of characters get good moments, but yeah, Troy and Abed certainly don't have a ton to do. Yeah. So we're in the hallway and we're seeing Annie collect cans from the trash cans around the school, and Pierce is following her. I don't know how inconspicuous a like 6 foot something old man in all black is going to be, but apparently he is unseen as she drops off the cans at the recycling center, and we see her get cash. She's like disappointed that seems like she doesn't make that much, and Pierce is just like following her around like a creep. Not sketchy whatsoever. Nope. And he follows Annie back to her apartment. We have seen her apartment once before. We've never been inside of it though. So this is the first we're seeing of her studio apartment. Very Annie-like, I would say. Like, it's not surprising that Annie has like a very like frilly pink apartment, I don't think.
Yeah, and the curtains are very frilly and stuff too. It's,
you know, yes.
It's a pretty girly apartment. And I will say, like, I've lived in studio apartments. It's like decently sized. It's not that bad.
It's not a bad apartment. The only thing I was curious about was, like, where was the bathroom? Like, I don't recall seeing a door to a bathroom, but it is, like, a decent size for a studio apartment, I would say. Like, I've seen smaller, for sure.
Yeah.
And at least it's all one room.
I was assuming it was, like, by the door. But, yeah, like, so obviously the location sucks, but otherwise, I don't know, pretty good.
Sorry, you don't want to live above Dildopolis?
I do not.
She opens the apartment door and she's like, what are you even doing here? You could see like all the locks on the apartment door, like indicating this is not a safe place to be. And Pierce says there's a rapist in the hallway, and apparently that guy is her landlord, which is also scary and unfortunate for Annie. Her apartment is above Dildopolis, and I love how Annie calls it a marital aid store.
So funny.
She's so
probably
sweet.
her best line in this episode for me was just very subtle, like when you're like, oh yeah, that is what Annie would call it.
It's, yeah, she's like so sweet and so innocent, and like of course she's gonna call it a marital aid store. And Pierce just like doesn't understand that not everybody comes from excessive wealth. Annie explains that she's not talking to her parents right now because after she had a nervous breakdown, her mom wanted to put the problem behind them, but she wanted to confront it head on. So she went to rehab and got cut off completely from her parents. So she's only been able to afford this apartment from saving every penny from babysitting, all the birthday checks she got, and every dollar from the period fairy, which...
I love it so much.
It's so...
I wish...
You want a period
fairy? Praise to the period fairy. I want a period fairy. Yeah.
Where if I got a dollar for every time I got a period, great. It would make the experience better.
Why not? It's certainly worse than like losing a tooth. Losing a tooth is like not a big deal.
And
you get money for that. Like, come on.
I just think it's funny because it's like the fact that there was a period fairy, by the time you get your period, like you certainly know that like the tooth fairy doesn't exist. And so and she had a period where she's like, you know, you get a dollar when you get your period. It's just like completely normal. And the fact that you'd have to like explain that to somebody in order to get that dollar, you'd have to be like, yeah, I'm menstruating right now. hint.
Yeah, I do think like I think Pierce asked her like if the fairy still comes and Annie doesn't answer. And part of me wants to think that Annie puts a dollar under her pillow for herself when she has her period.
Very sweet. If that makes her feel better, you know, I'm all for it.
Yeah. She gets to wake up to a dollar in the morning.
She might have cramps in the morning, but at least she has a dollar.
Wait, so actually, I have a question for you. Does your tooth fairy give you bills?
So growing up, I would say, see, with inflation, I would certainly say that, kids probably get dollars now. I feel like I got like a quarter, maybe a dollar, but yeah, we would get like a dollar bill, I guess. Why? What did you get?
Because we get coins, right? Like we get loonies. Never even crossed my mind that you get paper bills from the Tooth Fairy. For me, it's just always coins.
I mean, I don't know that would make a big of a difference unless you had like a really crappy pillow.
I don't know. And just something different about imagining a tooth fairy like carrying around bills of money rather than like a little coin purse.
Coin purse. And they could fold the bill up, I guess. They have money clips, you know?
I have a very firm concept of what the tooth fairy economy is like, and it has never included paper money. I'm just saying.
I often think, too, like, how did my parents, like, slip money under my pillow without waking me? Like, that has to be difficult, no? Do parents do something else these days? Like, do they put it in, like, a little treasure chest or something?
Yeah, I don't know if, like, because you definitely, you know, you could go to, you know, you put the tooth under there, so it's not like they could put it in before you went to bed. Like, you would
totally find it. Did we put a tooth in a baggie? Because that's disgusting if we didn't. Think about just putting a random tooth under your pillow. That's gross.
Yeah. I don't remember putting it in a baggie, but again, I haven't lost a teeth in, you know, multiple years.
I know. So. The other thing that I remember about, like, losing your teeth, like, that was the big deal, was, like, you always wanted to lose a tooth when you were at school because you'd go to the nurse and they'd give you that little treasure chest to put it in. And I always... What? Oh my gosh. Okay, maybe this is just in American schools. So if you lost a tooth in school, you'd go to the nurse and there was this like, I'm talking like smaller than my pinky finger. It was this tiny little treasure chest and they had different colors. I remember I got a blue one time and you would open it up and you'd put your tooth in it to bring it home. And it was always like the biggest deal to get the treasure chest. So I always wanted to lose a tooth while I was at school.
I've never heard of this before. This might
what did they give you?
Like, I don't remember. I have no... like, it was clearly not that big a deal. Like, you're just talking envelopes, and that's probably what it was. It was just like, okay, here's, like, an envelope.
It probably was. Yeah, I could see that. I just feel like the treasure chest is very special.
Clearly. It's very cute.
It's very memorable for me. So they talk about the period fairy. And Pierce starts getting very manipulative. He says they're very much alike. They're both realists. They're both cute. They'd rather die than let someone else control them. And he says this crap hole is a monument to self-reliance, which is such a backhanded compliment.
I'm so annoyed because I love this moment so much. Like, I actually think it's incredibly sweet.
And it is.
It's this moment of, like, and in what way is Pierce a model of self-reliance? He generational wealth all the way.
Yeah.
But he's recognizing that in Annie, at least, and that that's what she's doing. And the fact that, and he kind of allows her to reframe her living situation as a thing she can be proud of rather than a thing she's embarrassed by. And I actually think this is really sweet. And she hugs him. And I was like, yeah, this dynamic is so lovely. And then he goes and ruins it.
I know.
I get that this is the point. You're supposed to be annoyed at Pierce for doing this. But I'm like, oh, I want to live in the world where, like, just this moment
yeah,
is like a thing. And Pierce was doing it out of the goodness of his heart and being nice to Annie and not for ulterior motives.
Yeah, and the thing is like when you look at the rest of the season as well, like there are other episodes to that point to Pierce really taking a liking to Annie. Like he thinks of her as like a daughter of sorts, right? And so it is really upsetting that like he does this really nice thing that you're hoping is selfless and not, you know, shrouded in ulterior motives. But unfortunately it is, you know, he offers her a check. He says she's earned it for being so strong. It's just going to drop into your hands from out of nowhere. Really nice if you think about it in that way, in that he does see value in her and she is working very hard. Like she's a full-time student and she's still living on her own, completely cut off from her parents, trying to do her best. And Annie says she's only going to take it because she's low on rent. And the procedure for selling eggs takes 3 weeks. And I love Pierce just saying, like, save your eggs for a rainy day. What a line. And if they had hugged and he had just left at that moment, maybe things would have been different. But alas, they are not.
No.
Annie's curious why he followed her. And he said, oh, at the time, you know, it seems pointless now, but I wanted to talk to you about the play. And Annie, of course, feeling very appreciative for Pierce in this moment, says, oh, you should do the line that you improvised, the don't call me honey, honey. And we all know Pierce is going to be given an inch and take like 6 miles. So, yep. Or 6 kilometers. I don't know what the translation is. 6 kilometers.
It's 10 kilometers.
Oh, okay, great.
6 miles, 10 kilometers.
So we're now in a random classroom. I always love when they just randomly have these students. Like, they're just, like, always tucked away in some random corner of the community college. I'm like, what is this classroom? We see Pierce watching, like, a behind-the-scenes film of a commercial for Hawthorne Wipes. And we find out he wasn't even the star of it. His father cast Nigel because Pierce was not very good in the audition, and his father yells at him, and it's very triggering for an older Pierce now to watch this.
It's true, and the funny thing is, in this commercial, like, Pierce runs in and does the line, and I actually think he does a better job of it than Nigel does. But it is, yeah, you do see... It's hard, right? Because you, like, battle back and forth, and you're like, okay, but you're also, like, a grown man harboring this grudge, and... You know, like, you need to get over this at some point. Like, there's, you can see where he's coming from and why this is so important and why he feels like this is my chance to make up for this. But it's also like, okay, but, like, this was a long time ago.
Long time ago. I mean, a lot of these characters have daddy issues, Pierce especially. And the fact that he's still hanging on to this, and he's always been like a person who needs attention, right? Like, he's always been that way. It's always bothered him that Jeff is like the star of the group. Everybody looks to Jeff. He feels like, as the oldest member of the group, he should be respected, but he doesn't deserve the respect, right? Like, you have to do things to earn respect, and he doesn't do those things. So it's showtime. And Annie says that the most important thing is to have fun, but then also know all your lines and all your blocking and don't mess up anything. Which, very Annie.
And then says, actually flip those, which I thought was the funniest part of this whole thing. It's not just the, oh, do all of these things. It's, oh yeah, that should actually all come first. Never mind.
Yeah, make sure you don't mess anything up for me. Pierce has adjusted the script and he hands out new copies. And Annie's like, oh, it's not going to hurt anything. Let's look them over, see if they improve anything. And Pierce introduces himself with an, I'm here, Zabadazooey, which, what?
I know, and it's not the end of the Zabadazooey either, and I don't know why this is his catchphrase.
Yeah, no one laughs, and then Jeff gives a good one, and everybody laughs. And Annie's like, yeah, it's fine, like, leave it in, it doesn't hurt anybody. And I love her saying, break a stinger. Yeah. So cute. And Pierce, of course, then tells Annie he's uncomfortable with the Zabadazooey line, and she's like, you know, the one that you just, like, you just
made
up?
Yeah, it's your line, yeah.
He says he wants Jeff to say Zabadazooey, and he wants to say good one. And also, he wants to wear Jeff's jacket. So if Annie can make those things happen, that would be great.
I know. It's all so icky. And it's so... He's looking at this moment when he got, like, Jeff outshone him. And he wants that to be flipped around. And he's like, oh, yeah, I want to be cool like Jeff. So I'm going to say the Jeff thing and make Jeff say the bad thing that I say. And it's funny because there's, like, this... incredible amount of self-awareness in this moment and yet no mm-hmm. self-awareness in this moment. Like, he's yeah. like, oh, this is how I get people to like me, is I have the quippy one-liner and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, and it's also just, like, lacking any sort of subtlety at all, yeah. especially when he's like, oh, is this your pen? I thought it might be. I thought you. I may have taken it from you last night when I gave you all that money for your rent. And it's just, like, so disgusting and so despicable. And it's, and you know, like, Annie's young and she's impressionable and she's naive. And she thought it was, I mean, she thought her friend was just helping her. But, of course, that is not how Pierce operates. So we see Dean introduce the show. He says our volunteers are handing out drug-free baseballs. Next time you think about drugs. I want to know
what kind of baseballs Dean usually has.
Next time you think about drugs, think about baseball instead.
Because there's what? No drugs in baseball. I'm assuming this is the joke, right? It's
like, oh, is that the joke? Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't think about it until
now. I thought it was a joke as, like, don't give them something they can throw at the people that are going to be on stage that will hurt them.
It's, like, definitely part of it. But, like, I'm thinking, you know, back in the, there was, like, big scandal.
Oh, like with steroids and stuff?
With steroids and stuff, right? Like, obviously much earlier than 2011, but is that where the joke is coming from?
Could be. I don't know. I'm not the sports person to ask. Certainly could be that there was, like, do they call it juice? Is that a thing? Juicing people? That's not a thing. It's called juicing. See, now I sound ridiculous. I'm pretty
Jess
sure
there's
something.
Not the people you should have on a podcast to be like, is this what drugs are called?
I'm pretty sure that something to do with steroids in baseball is called juice, but I could be completely wrong and I could look silly. Who knows? But yeah, so he hands out these baseballs. We see Chang approach Shirley again and she ignores him again. And he's just, like, in the mirror, like, fixing his eyebrows, which is, I don't know why it cracked me up so much.
Yeah, he's talking about being ignored and he's like, not that I know why, because he, like, looks so good.
And Britt is excited because her nephew Marcus is in the school that's here today and he's here to see the show. He's 14. She says she didn't think he liked her at all, but he texted her that says, can't wait to see you. I've been looking forward to this for so long. You're the coolest aunt in the world. And he also sent her an 8, an equal sign, and a greater than sign. And my question is, why is it a greater than sign? I feel like that is not the right thing at the end. Like, shouldn't it be a D?
Yeah, it should be D. Yeah.
Like, this kid doesn't even know how to sext at this point, which means he shouldn't be 14. Doing it. Exactly.
I would hope he doesn't.
This kid sucks at sexting.
My question is that earlier the text that he had sent was like, I'm so excited to see, you know, you like just said it, but it was like, you know, oh, can't wait to see it. Like, it was awfully enthusiastic to then have Britta be like, I didn't think he liked me at all. Like, it was an overly enthusiastic text from a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
That led to Jeff doing this whole thing. And then, obviously, this is creepy and weird. And
yeah, it's very messed up. And also, it's really gross when he's, like, sending her, like, a penis emoji or emoticon or whatever. And also saying, you're the coolest aunt in the world. So yeah. Gross. There's on so many levels of grossness here.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing good about this. It's very weird. I, like, kind of hate this whole storyline.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing that cracks me up is, like, the end conversation between Marcus and Jeff. And for me, that, like, kind of makes it a little bit like the juice worth the squeeze, but not quite so much. But it's very funny at the end. But we have Jeff approaching Abed, and he's like, we screwed up. The text I sent was Britta's nephew. And Abed says nothing throughout this entire conversation, which is honestly the funniest thing Abed could be doing. Yeah. Just sitting there silently. So Jeff sends more text messages. Marcus, I made a mistake. I texted the wrong person last night. And Marcus correctly points out that you called me by name. and he's like, yeah. I was drunk. We can't do this. I'm drunk too. Unlust.
Oh my God. What 14-year-old talks like this? Nobody.
No, I don't think so. I don't think a 14-year-old would say, I'm drunk on lust. And then he sends a picture, which we don't need to get into what that could be because it's gross.
Yeah, but I what I do love about this is Jeff, like, texting and then showing it to Abed and then, like, oh no, and then texting again.
It's a great, like I said, Abed doesn't do anything. He sits there silently, but it's very funny. And then we have the play going on. Pierce is saying his stupid honey line. We get Chang approaching Shirley again, asking if she's ignoring him because he's Korean. And she's like, you're Chinese.
Yeah, and he says, like, there's a difference.
Yeah, this is, like, a running joke with Chang that he, like, doesn't know, or I think he knows he's Chinese, but he always talks about, like, oh, they're the same thing or whatever. Like, this happens more than once on the show.
Yeah, this actually makes me kind of sad for him in reality. But, yeah.
A lot of things make me sad for Chang. And Shirley says it's not because he's Chinese, it's because he's crazy, and the idea that she was with him means there's something wrong with her. And she says that if you have any humanity, you won't make me think about it at all, which is, like, pretty harsh. She's the one who slept with him.
Like, I feel very bad for Chang in this. Like, she's been ignoring him, he's just trying to help and have a conversation about, like, a very real thing in his life, and she, you know, I get that she's also going through stuff, but it's pretty harsh.
I also think that, like, while I think, like, the stuff that Chang is doing is, like, sweet and he is trying, I don't think the move is to attempt to woo Shirley with, like, a mixtape. I think the approach, and this is not Chang, but, like, the approach is to be like, if this is my baby, I'm here to help. Like, he's doing things that do make him look very strange. So.
It's fair. I actually didn't even think that the mixtape was, like, a wooing thing, right? Because it was, like, a get-to-know Chang mix. And so I thought it was more of, like, a, hey, there's more to me than just, like, the kooky former Spanish teacher. Like, here's your chance to, like, get to know me and therefore, like, the person whose, like, genetics helped make the baby, maybe. And I don't know. I, like, didn't even think about it like that. You're probably right. It's probably
I could
him
see it
being
that
creepy.
Way, but I just feel like you usually don't make a mixtape for your friends. Like, usually that's reserved for romantic partners, but...
I definitely have received, like, multiple mix CDs from friends who... Mostly it's because they're like, you need to expand your musical taste.
That's an insult playlist.
It's definitely, like, I'm frequently a road trip driver, and I think it's people being like, could we, you know, like,
change it up.
This is my, like, secret way of listening to my own music while we go on road trips.
That's amazing.
I've, like, made you some mix CDs.
So we're at the part of the play where there's a funeral. Jeff is in, right, so Jeff and Britta are, like, cool cats. So they're, like, in all black with leather jackets and these cat ears. Jeff is in the casket. And the dean says, well, that answers my question. Jeff Winger is sexy even in a coffin.
Like, and the best part of this line is that obviously the dean has wondered this before.
Yeah.
And I want to know why.
Because it's the dean. Because he thinks about Jeff too much. Yeah. And of course, Jeff is still texting Marcus even when he's on stage. And I love Shirley's line. And maybe this is why they made her a green Crayola crayon. She says, I can't believe Fluffy is dead. I know I'm green, but I feel blue.
And again, like, this line in the universe of the thing is like, okay, you had a green crayon costume, and so you wrote this line. But it does, like, in writing the show, this line could be anything.
Yeah.
Why is it a green crayon?
And Pierce goes on stage with sparklers and a rainbow clown wig, and all the kids are laughing, and all he does is he just yells, Pokemon!
It's like, it's 2011. I think Pokemon was in, like, a slump and hadn't done its, like, its recurrence yet.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, like, this is, I don't know why, but this boosts Pierce for me. It's just the Pokemon, like, shouting Pokemon is so funny. Shirley's like, that's not right, and he says, nobody asked you, and he just begins, like, chasing her around. Pierce pretends to fart on Jeff, and, like, all the kids are loving it, and he's just living for this attention. Ugh.
Yeah, it's just feeding his ego that does not need feeding, and just reinforcing everything that he's been doing, and it's like so cringy, which is the point. I want to point out my favorite part of this all is just, like, the bad acting from Yvette Nicole Brown and, like, the others in this thing. Like, I think Abed does, like, anytime they have spoken lines, it's so terribly acted, and I just find it so impressive when really good actors can purposefully act badly. It's the same way, like, when really good singers can sing badly, and I'm just like, that's gotta be really hard to, like, do something really well
bad.
And then not do it that way.
Yeah, they're all, like, leaning in, but also you could tell that they hate the fact that they're there. So it's perfect. And Britta runs out to talk to Annie. She's like, what should we do? Do we get the dean? Do we call in a bomb threat? And Annie's like, I think the kids are into it. Britta's like, well, what about the message? And he's like, you know what? I think the message is sinking in. I think we're getting there. So they're about to flush Pierce down a giant toilet. And of course, Pierce has to say, oh, who invited the nerd from the beehive? Drugs made you. So the kids are still laughing and he's doing this like whole dance. And of course, zip, zop, zooey as he goes down the toilet. Oh, yeah. Pierce. Ugh.
I am a big fan of this toilet prop and the fact that it like folds up the front and everything. Yeah. It's very elaborate for like an otherwise very unelaborate play.
Yeah.
Like, it's the one set piece other than the coffin in this play.
Well, that, and they did. They must have commissioned the Jeff portrait.
That is true. And the Jeff portrait. How could we forget?
Yeah, but I love what that was what they spent their budget on, was the toilet, the coffin, and the Jeff portrait. Meanwhile, none of their costumes make sense or seem to be in the same vicinity of the same play.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, gosh, did someone just, like, have the Jeff, like, did the dean just have the Jeff? No, the dean took the Jeff portrait.
He didn't
just have that already. Yeah, yep. So... all in set.
Pierce wants to go back on stage, but Annie's like, you got flushed, you can't go back. And he says, well, maybe I'm a floater. And he goes on to try to explain to her what a floater is. Like, it's so disgusting.
Yeah.
And she's like, it won't make sense, it sends a mixed message. And then he of course comes in with, you know what I think is a mixed message? Yesterday you couldn't pay your rent and today you can. It's not
so dirty.
Not nice at all. I hate it. I don't like when anybody's mean to Annie. I get personally offended.
It's pretty bad. I did want to shout out, we skipped over the bees buzzing.
Oh, yes.
Amazing Grace at the Staps, not Amazing Grace.
And that is when Troy does the thing where I'm telling you, Donald Glover just like, and I think it's Abed that does the thing with his fist, like at the end. They both are so funny in like these tiny, tiny moments. Like they eat up the scene. It's so funny.
Yeah. And it's funny because it just like, it's always like, okay, if they did that much with this little, like, gosh, I wish they just had like a few more lines in this show. Like, give me less Jeff sexting a teenager and more Troy and Abed doing literally anything.
It's fair. It's very fair. So we have the bees, Britta the cool cat, and the green crayon are all dancing, and the kids are throwing baseballs at them. Pierce pops out of the toilet with a smoke bomb, and he goes, I'm back! Ain't no party without drugs! And all the kids are cheering, they're all hugging him. I love you, drugs!
It's so over the top.
So terrible. And then all the kids are cheering, we want drugs! As Pierce exits the stage. And he, of course, in his daddy issues stage is, listen to that, dad, they're high on me. I'm a god. Where's that Nigel now? I haven't even used my penis material yet. It's like, thank God I didn't have to see his penis material.
Yeah, to a bunch of 14-year-olds in a school assembly. Like, I don't want to know what that's going to be.
Nope. And Annie says, after their mission, they're going to go back to the first script to do some damage control. She's like, Pierce cannot go back on stage. And he says, well, maybe I won't be visiting you late at night anymore with a generous spirit. And everyone is like very disturbed by this comment, as they should be.
And the thing is, they very quickly figure out that it's just that Pierce is giving her money.
Yeah.
But like nothing he says clarifies anything. And it sounds way worse than that.
Yep. Yep. It's disgusting. Annie calls Pierce a sick, sad old man. She says this is why she didn't take money from her parents. She doesn't want anybody pulling her strings. And Britta confronts Annie about taking money from Pierce. And Abed realizes that's why the script got changed. So Annie fires Pierce. And he says, next time I'm at Dildopolis, I'll not be coming up the stairs to say hi. And I think earlier he was like, I didn't know they opened a second location. So we know he's like familiar with this store, apparently.
Yeah, he's a frequent customer of Dildopolis.
The marital aid store.
My problem with this scene was how quickly they all get mad at Annie.
Yes.
And I'm like, she's broke. Like, she accepted money and then Pierce was awful to her. Like, I don't know. I feel bad for her in this moment that they were just so, they're so quick to jump on her, and It's like, you know, she's being pressured and, like, guilted by Pierce. Yeah. And probably feeling a lot of shame around accepting the money in the first place. Like, I totally feel for Annie, and I feel bad that they're so quick to just, like, completely be angry at her.
And here's the thing. Like, I think the worst person with all of this is Britta, because she is just like, you're fired, Annie. It's like, Britta, you just flashed some dude for some movie tickets, like, literally an episode ago. Like, who are you to judge Annie for, like, accepting some money when she's broke and she has no money for her to rent her apartment? Like, they're all so quick to judge her. Luckily,
yeah, Britta has done far worse for some rent money. So.
Oh, for far less. Yeah. And the only saving grace is that Jeff is like, you know what? We should help her. The least we could do is get the number of at-risk youths back down to the national average. And of course, the dean comes back and he's just like, we have 50 at-risk preteens armed with baseballs chanting for drugs who just spent intermission eating nothing but Charleston chews. Thank God. Hope you can top act one is all I'm saying. And then he takes the picture of Jeff in the cat costume.
The running Charleston shoes joke is also just very funny. Dean is like, okay, priority number one, get the Charleston shoes out of the vending machine. Yeah. Priority number two, maybe, you know, teach them something about drugs.
Yeah, let's prevent some at-risk youths from doing drugs. But that's after we get rid of the Charleston shoes and after I get this Jeff portrait.
Yeah, so just the quick aside of the, like, thank God. It cracked me up for sure.
Yeah. Chang enters in Pierce's costume and he said, did someone say crazy person? And everyone's like, absolutely not, no. We didn't, but here you are, I guess.
Turns out that's what they needed.
Well, yes, because Chang is so good at this. He's like, because everyone hates Chang, so it's very easy to get him to turn, to get the students to turn on him. Yeah. And I just love, I feel like it's not just the speech, but the way he has the speech is like, disappointed. It's just like, so extra.
He's just this, like, and the way that Ken Jeong, like, acts it, he's always very, like, curved. Like, he's very, like, Golem Smeagol-esque, like, he's always very curved over, and it's just very creepy the way that he, like, comes on and he's like, oh
yeah,
here I am,
yeah, I'm gonna deep fry your dog and eat your mama's face, like, I'm gonna wear your little brother's skin in, like, pajamas, like, what so, like, good. Where did he pull this from? That's the part that I'm concerned about.
It's very, like, was 2011 the time that everyone was freaking out about bath salts? It feels like that sort of time, and so this is very much like,
yeah, I can see it.
Bath salts might make you, I don't know,
I could see it,
like, definitely not marijuana, right? Which is like,
yes, yes. And then we have the kid, let's kill him, and they all just, like, bum rush the stage. And the dean is very impressed with Annie's work. He says, the way that you got the kids to think they needed drugs and then them realize the dependence was the enemy, that the price was just too high. It's just, and then he asks, what's the plan for the bee costumes? It's so good. Dean is amazing.
He says it's the best chemical dependency program he's ever seen. And it's like, it's pretty clever.
It's I mean, it's not bad. Yeah. So then we have Jeff approaching Marcus and he says that he's Britta's boyfriend. And Marcus, look, dude, she started it. Okay. She's just as into me. And Marcus says that Jeff is gross for sending the text messages, and he's like, well, you sent gross pictures to your aunt, and he's like, more disgusting than what you texted an underage boy. And Marcus agrees that they could call it a draw for a price.
I think I have to say, like, Jeff points out he didn't know he was texting an underage boy. Marcus did know he was texting his aunt's phone. So, yes, it is more gross what you did, Marcus. Yeah. Like, just to clear that up. Like,
yeah, it is gross. It's definitely more gross.
Yeah.
And then Shirley approaches Chang, and she says it was brave what he did. She owes him an apology for calling him crazy. She hasn't been giving him enough credit. And then he says, tell you what, why don't I go get Chang, and you can tell him that yourself. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, no. Chang, I'm going to tell you some words, and I need you to repeat them back to me in a few minutes and maybe spell world backwards. We're doing a concussion assessment on the fly here.
He got hit so much with baseballs and, like, baseball bats and stuff. Poor guy.
I do love that earlier Shirley's talking about Chang's crazy and how, like, that's the problem here. And then that ends up being the thing that, like, brings her around. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Everyone congratulates Chang. Annie apologizes to everybody, and they all hug. And then Annie approaches Pierce, and he says, Annie, before you say anything, I just want you to know, even though I did nothing wrong, I'm still going to give you money. Oh, if he had just said sorry here. If he had just said sorry here.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. Annie says she can't take his money. She can't go from depending on her parents to depending on him. So she's going to get a job. And she says that she knows that Pierce doesn't depend on anybody, but he depends on people depending on him. And like that makes a ton of sense. Like that is yeah. Pierce. That's who he is.
It's very true. My question is, why was Annie going to sell her eggs before she thought of getting a job?
I don't know.
I worked 4 part-time jobs to put myself through undergrad. Like get a job. It's not that.
And here's the thing, like, I could easily see Annie working at the community college. Like, she easily could get, like, what is it called?
She's a tour guide, right?
Yes.
She's absolutely. Like, as someone who was a campus tour guide and a campus ambassador for a long time, your job is to, like, show people around, sell them on the school.
Yeah, and you know, she loves Greendale. Try to convince them to go there.
Yeah, Annie would be an amazing tour guide. I'm shocked that she doesn't do it already. She's probably already proficient in walking backwards. Like, it's her dream job, yeah. I would think.
It is. It's shocking that she hasn't thought of this before then. But I don't know. Maybe she just thought she wanted to focus on school. I don't know. It's very strange though. She can juggle that many plates, you know, like she's very good at this.
Especially because an on-campus job, you know, you tell them when your class yes. schedule is and then they schedule you around it. Like it's pretty convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows why she was going to sell her eggs before that. But, you know, Pierce asks if Annie's mom was the period fairy. And then Britta says, hey guys, I found my phone, but has anyone seen my bra? Which very concerning.
Yeah. Very so concerning. This is clearly the price that Marcus asked for. Yes. Was his ass bra, which is still gross.
It's so gross. It's grand.
Also, why wasn't she wearing her bra? I get that she was changing, but nothing about her cat costume implied that she would have to take off her bra in any way. So I don't know why she just had an extra bra lying around.
Maybe she's just like goes braless sometimes. Like I get it. You know,
I guess.
Free the boobs.
Yeah, but like on stage in front of a room full of middle schoolers?
Yeah, that's a choice. Then we get the after credits scene. Annie is sleeping and she's woken up at 2 a.m. by an announcement from Dildopolis. It's their Night Owls deals. They'll be closed for President's Day. Just kidding. It never closes. At Dildopolis, your privacy is our top concern. So all store purchases will show up on your credit card as ABC Dildos Incorporated. Shopping till you drop? Take a load off at our in-store cafe. Enjoy an espresso of our signature cinnamon biscotti. What?
I've never heard of anything less appetizing.
Yeah.
Than espresso and biscotti at Dildopolis.
I also just love that it's going to show up on your credit card as ABC Dildos Incorporated. Yep.
Yeah,
yep,
because that makes subtle. It fancy and reputable, I guess.
Yes. So amazing. So obviously I gave this a streets ahead. I think this is a very funny end scene. It's one of the few that I think are really, really funny and they don't have Troy and Abed. So I gave this a streets ahead. Josh also gave it a streets ahead. And Melissa, what do you think of this end scene here?
Yeah, it's also streets ahead for sure. It's funny. It's and like the best part is, yeah, watching Annie like pull up the broom and she's like smacking. You just feel so bad for her.
Yes. Yes. You know that this is not the first time that this has happened. That is the thing. Yeah. You know, it's not.
And this is just like some nighttime employee down in Dildopolis who I imagine is just like having way too much fun in the middle of the night. Okay.
They're so bored. They have to work the overnights and they're like, let me just make my life more fun by doing wild announcements. Yeah, yeah. I see it. So we are going to get into feedback, ratings and the episode ratings and more meow meows and all of that. But first we're going to take another quick ad break and we'll be right back. All right, let's get into some feedback. We heard from the wise crackhead bandit, I'm not very high on this episode, and I think it's because I've just overdosed on Pierce. Though I was belighted to see that I wore the exact same bee costume for Halloween that the dean is wearing, minus the front stinger.
It's great.
Just so amazing. I think, like, I mean, beyond the puns and the jokes here, like, it is a very Pierce-heavy episode, and for that, I think it suffers a little bit. I think any episode that's very Pierce-heavy tends to not be some of my favorites. But we'll get into it when we get into our episode readings.
I think also part of the problem is that because it's like a Pierce heavy episode with kind of a like not super fun B plot in the Jeff, like if there was some sort of Troy Abed B plot to go along with this, I think it would do so much better.
Yeah.
But this is just kind of a frustrating Pierce storyline on top of a kind of boring, icky B plot line, and then like Shirley and Chang, and then meanwhile like Troy and Abed are also there.
So, yeah, exactly. I completely agree with you. Then we hear from, I believe it's Josh is always the one that pronounces his name. I think it's Yana. He says, this is the fourth lowest rated episode of the season on IMDb. That sounds about right. I like the idea of throwing in a Pierce heavy episode to see if it works and to give Chevy a chance to strut his stuff. This episode is also probably very meta, as in what it was like to with making the show with Chevy. The way Pierce acts and when it comes to the play is very much how Chevy apparently acted while making Community. I agree. I felt like this was definitely poking fun at Chevy Chase for sure.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was like Dan Harmon, like, okay, you want to be the star? Like, here you go. What you get.
I think so. I think it's like, oh, you want to be the star? You're going to be exactly like who you actually are and have to confront that, you know, about yourself. Yeah, I think so. And of course, Riley, the essayist, says, so I think this episode is quite a bit better than the last episode. However, I find this episode a lot more unpleasant and hard to watch because he hates Pierce. He said this episode helps encapsulate why with how reprehensibly selfish he is. However, I think this episode is incredibly well done and a great stepping stone in Pierce's villain arc in season two. The season tells a great story about how the problematic friend in the group slowly becomes worse than just that, becoming a toxic, terrible human being who's actively hurting those around him. And he says that Chang being the new weed at the end of the episode is my favorite Chang moment in the show. Genuinely helpful and kind, but still pure Chang. I think I like this episode less than the last episode, but acknowledge it's a lot better. I think he makes a good point about Chang. Like, this is definitely like a very pure Chang moment. I feel like this is the, I feel like it's like a correct amount of a correct dose of Chang, I would say.
Yeah, there's, you know, he's got a few like funny little bits that I appreciate and is not too much and kind of comes in and he's the hero at the end because of who he is, because of Chang being Chang. It's not some like other out of character, like, oh, he suddenly like sits down and has a very adult conversation with Shirley. It's like, no, he's gonna do the thing that we know him to do.
Yeah,
and it's great for that. I don't know that this makes this a great episode, but yeah, it's definitely Chang's, like, a good episode for Chang.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah, I think like we needed a Pierce heavy episode at least every once in a while to prove like why he's on the show. And I think the best way to do it is with Annie, because like she balances him out in a really nice way. So I agree. Like, it's not my favorite episode, but I think it has strong moments.
The Pierce Annie dynamic is both like the one that shows Pierce at his best and his worst, I think.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, when he's actually being nice, you know, Annie's the only one he's ever actually nice to in any way. And so we do see these like moments of, oh, he can be a nice person. And then when that gets flipped on its head, it's like, oh, like this is what he does to his favorite person. Imagine what he would do to any of the rest of them.
Yep. Yep. It's like he sees his prey. Like he knows that she's susceptible to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we get into the meow meows? Why don't you go first and go talk us through your meow meows for each character?
Sure. Yeah. I gave Jeff a 3.5. I kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit just because so much of what he does, I don't find particularly funny, but there were a few things that I thought, like the whole dynamic with Abed as he's doing the texting and stuff. So, you know, a bit above average, thought it was good. Do you want me to go through all of them?
Go ahead.
Okay. I gave Britta a 2.5. I, like, could not care less about Britta in this episode. I thought she was just, like, absolutely nothing. Like, so much of what she does in this episode is just, like, driving the plot. Like, her coming back and asking Annie, like, what do we do? Or whatever. It's, like, it wasn't... I don't think I laughed at, like, a single thing Britta said this episode. I gave Abed a 3.5 because, again, he did nothing. But when he sat there and did nothing, it was kind of funny. So I gave Troy a 4.5 because every single bit he did made me laugh. And it made me laugh harder than anything else in this episode. So I had to give him points for that, even though he did almost nothing. I gave Pierce a 4 because while it was insufferable what he did, that was the entire point. And so it's a very, like, Pierce-driven episode, and it really, you know, made the entire A-line. So, I thought it was fine. I gave Shirley a 2.5 for the exact same reason I gave Britta 1. Like, I just... There was very little that Shirley said that made me laugh in this episode. I gave Annie a 4. I thought that she had some funny stuff. But it wasn't... her point in this episode wasn't to be funny. So I couldn't give her, like, quite as high as I did with Troy. And then I gave Chang a 4. Because, again, I think it's his best showing so far. So I gave him kind of a bump for that.
Yeah, I had similar thoughts. I think I'm just overall a little bit higher than the characters than you are. So I also gave Jeff a 3.5. I feel like he had his funny moments. Like, the texting was very funny to me, even if that storyline wasn't great. Britta, I gave a 3-2. I think that she was fine. Like, she didn't have a ton to do. And I don't like the way she was mean to Annie. So I didn't want to give her more than a 3. Abed a 3.5, because even in those silent moments, he makes me laugh. So he somehow managed a 3.5 on an episode where he's not around a ton. Troy gets a 4. I feel like Troy, the moments he has are very, very funny, even if they are small moments. Pierce, I gave a 4. I like getting, even if we're meant to hate Pierce, and we are, rounding out his character a bit with some softer moments is always good. So I feel like I do have to give him some points for that backstory content. Shirley, I gave a 3. She's not around a ton. The only thing I found really funny that she says, and she's just like, my character wouldn't say tripping balls. Okay. That was a great line. Annie, I gave a 5-2. And the reason is, no, she's not necessarily, like, the funniest in this episode, although the period fairy does crack me up. I don't think that, like, it's not the only way people can earn points is by being funny. Like, I love learning more about Annie's backstory. We get to see her apartment for the first time. Like, we get to see her struggle. And I think, like, Annie is pure Annie in this episode, and so I had to reward her with the 5. And Chang, too, maybe everybody's surprised. I gave a 4.5. This is good Chang content. It's the perfect amount of Chang. He was very funny. His monologue on the stage was hilarious. Ken Jeong does a great job with, like, the physical comedy of it all and the voice work he does. So he got a 4.5 from me. And we do have slight movement in our character rankings now. Annie is now in second place, which is wild. She was dragging behind in season 1. And now, granted, she's only 1 point above Abed currently. So there's plenty of time for her to fall from grace. But amazing that she is in second place. Troy is still way out in the lead. Like, no one can even see him at this point. He is running away with things. But that is the only movement that we have this week. And then we're on to the Dean's list. You and I had the same pick here. So tell me why you picked the Dean, Melissa.
Because literally everything he said made me laugh this episode. Yeah. And it like, some of the hardest I laughed this episode was stuff that Troy did and stuff the Dean did. And in an episode that lacked a lot of laughs, I just really appreciated Dean coming in for these little moments. The Charleston shoes stuff, the Hotel Ramada at the airport. Even just, like, the subtly, like, taking Jeff Winger's photo when he left. Like, it all made me laugh. I really loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, the Stinger stuff is very funny. Like, he just has such funny lines that I couldn't not give it to him. And when I was looking at the rest of the, I'm like, what, I give it to Marcus? Like, no, thank you. I'm not giving it to Marcus. Josh did give it to the kids that are in the drug awareness program. So they did get a point. But currently the Dean is quite far ahead with 10 points overall on our Dean's list. That takes us to the episode rating in Cools. Funnily enough, you, Josh, and I were all very much on the same page here. Josh gave the episode a 3. I gave it a 2.9. I feel like it's a solid episode. It has a bunch of funny moments. I love an Annie-heavy episode. Very obviously, I'm very biased in that way. I think that for me to rate something in the 3 territory, I want to see more from more characters because this is an ensemble cast. And I felt like we were lacking the Troy and Abed department, even like Britta and Shirley. Like, it's very core focused on like 2 characters, maybe 3. Granted, I like the content they get, but I would like to see more from more of the characters. What about you, Melissa?
Yeah, exactly. Also gave it a 3. I wasn't going to get into like 0.1 types of ratings, so a 3 felt good. Largely, yeah, like the parts there, it has its funny moments, but I just wish that we'd seen more from more people. I'm not like, I like Annie, but it's not enough to carry an episode for me and give it more points, and just it loses points because of the lack of the characters that I like most.
Yeah, that's fair. And the audience was pretty much on par with us as well. They gave it a 3.13, which brings the current average to a 3.01. Everybody pretty much in lockstep here. This episode falls in 10th place overall out of 13 so far. I feel like that feels pretty right, pretty correct for where we are. That is our episode. I feel like it's a fun episode. Like, there's not, I mean, you get some backstory in this one. It's not one that is, like, super like chosen as like one that is like amazing to watch, but I feel like it's a standard season 2 episode of Community. It's not bad. It's average. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's basically most Community is in this time frame is good Community. Like, it's you know, if it's on TV, I would probably sit down and watch it. Not that I like, you know, who just like sits and puts on TV anymore, but in the days when this show was on air, when that would happen, you know, I wouldn't like change the channel. I'd be like, oh yeah, it's the, you know, and it is one of those episodes that a lot of you know, a lot of our emotes have come from, and like gifts and stuff from this episode. The costuming alone like makes it memorable, which is fun. So yeah, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good episode. All right, Melissa, tell us what you have going on. We know you're on YA. Tell us all about YA and why people should become a patron to listen to it.
Yeah, so $5 a month at the Patreon gets you access to the patron-only podcast, which includes YA. So it's Kevin Mahadeo and I talking about young adult fiction. So we started, we originally covered The Mighty Ducks and The Game Changers. And then with YA, we covered Twilight, Hunger Games, Divergent. We're on this very post-apocalyptic kick right now. So we just started covering The Maze Runner. And yeah, I think it's pretty fun. We talk about a lot of stuff and a lot of rants about why things
Kevin
should be different.
Kevin rant? Never.
I know. And then the best part is when these dystopian novels try to talk about science, and then, you know, then Kevin sits back and then I do the ranting. So yeah, it's pretty fun. So, you know, check out YA. A few of our episodes have been on the main feed. So if you want to get a feel for it, you can check that out and then come listen to more. We did YA in October, where we covered scary movies. So, you know, it's a good time.
Excellent branding. That is patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If you are so inclined, join us at the $10 level. You can get access to the full Discord. We play Dungeons and Dragons all the time. Melissa is an amazing dungeon master over in that corner. A lot going on in the Discord, so definitely give it a shot. If you want to just try it out, you could do that at the $5 level. We have like a smaller section available in the Discord for that. I mean, you could see all of our community emotes in there. We have so many, many of which are from this episode. Like Melissa was saying, we got Leather Jacket Jeff. Very funny. So definitely give it a shot. As for me, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, otherwise follow me on Twitter, MelissaW28, and you can see me playing Dungeons and Dragons, if that's your thing, over on twitch.tv/DMPhilly. On Tuesday nights, we do a Dragonfly D&D in space. And then on some Fridays, we do Humble Year. It's our cute woodland animals. I play a mouse fighter, so she's very small but has a big personality and lots of attitude.
She's very adorable.
Fun. Yeah, so you can check out old episodes on Rich's YouTube. Just search DM Philly on YouTube or twitch.tv/DM Philly. Highly recommend.
Amazing. As for me, you can find me at TheJustSterling on Twitter. I'm always around. We just finished up our Succession content here on Post Show Recaps. Potentially more things coming down the pipeline with me on Post Show Recaps. And I was also on a few Dexter episodes. If you're watching Dexter New Blood, you really should be, because it's very fun to watch. It's very reminiscent of old Dexter. And then you can also always find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. We podcast about Boy Meets World, which we just finished season 4, getting into season 5, which, fingers crossed, is our favorite season. Might be. Hopefully it is. We are podcasting Dawson's Creek, and then a whole bunch of bonus content. We did so much bonus content in December, so go check all of that out. Shit90spod.com. Also, at Shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram. And that's all I have going on. Next week, we are getting into one of the most widely known, best episodes of Community, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 14. We will not be alone. We will be back with someone who is Melissa's friend, also a DM in the corner of the post-show recaps Discord.
Fellow Austin D&D Smith. Musical star.
Yes, Austin Smith will be joining us to talk Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. I'm very excited. I love this episode. I'm excited to talk D&D. Back when we first talked about this episode, I don't think I'd ever played D&D before. It's amazing. So, wild times. Can't
Look at
wait
how
to
far
bring
you've
him
come.
On. I know, in just under a year. It's wild. So catch up with us next week when we cover that episode. As always, you can always find all the other Post-Show Recaps content, postshowrecaps.com. There's so much going on. We have Boba Fett coming on. It's just a wild time. What is it like? What's the karate one? Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai is on, Wheel of Time, Hawkeye, Insecure. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so much content. Again, if you want to become a patron to support the arts, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. And I think that does it for us. So on that note, I will say, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, dream deal with all of our friends. The brightest night.